Thank you, sweetheart, and thank you to all of you who have called in. Thank you to all of you who I can see on the cell phone, your smiles. God bless you. And there's no better place to be than fellowship. Unless Jesus Christ comes back, then there's no better place to be in eternal life. The title of tonight's sharing is simply Qualifications of a Diakonos. Diakonos is servant or serve, to serve. As opposed to doulos, a diakonos, we have the free will to serve. Back in biblical times, slaves did not. They were slaves, and they served because they had a master they had to obey. The only ones we have to obey is our Heavenly Father. But we serve with the freedom of will. We don't have to. No one's going to hold a bat to your head. But you know what? You should want to, because that's what God has commanded us to do. So before we get started, I want to ask a few of you to share what you might do to serve, some of the things you might do to serve. And with that, we'll start with you, Ted. What is something you would do to serve? There's many, many things. Let her get you the mic real quick. Just hold it right here. It's good.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I can do is I can research God's Word and teach lessons from it. Another thing I can do is provide my talents in various areas like music, production, and so on. But the main thing is to be able to serve God people with His Word.
Right. That's an excellent way. Jeannie, what about you?
I think one of the main things that I do to serve is pray and to help organize a group of people to motivate them and to help see what the needs in the body are so that we can direct our intercession for others.
That's a good service right there. Bring that mic over here for me, please, and hand it to Judy. And Judy, what are one of the things you could do or you've done to serve?
Well, I was going to say pray, of course, and speaking in tongues is part of serving God and praying for people with the understanding and with the not understanding. Speaking in tongues because God knows what people need.
Absolutely. Thank you. Those are a few, thank you guys, of ways to serve. And we're going to look at a few more because, like I mentioned, there are many, many ways to serve. But first of all, I want allow me to read a letter from Paul to Timothy. And we know Timothy is to leadership, and Paul is giving him some direction. But he's given him direction on how to minister or serve as an excellent servant of Jesus Christ. And that's who we follow in our lives. This is the underlying theme of the whole letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. So, for this, let me grab my Bible. I would ask that you go to 1 Timothy, and when you get to 1 Timothy, go to chapter 4. And when you get to chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 6. Oh, my glasses, please. I'm going to be reading this record out of the NLT. Those of you who know me, it's one of my favorite versions of the Bible, but it really makes it a little bit more clear. Nothing wrong with the King James. So 1 Timothy 4:6 starts by saying, "If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant." Right there. You're serving. Servant. Of who? Christ Jesus, right. "One who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed." What teachings are we following? Jesus Christ, God's. Okay, so we have the same foundational information here. Verse 7, "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourselves to be" what? "Godly." godly. Some people think, oh, I could never be godly. Not me. You see my resume? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Put aside the things of the world and put on the things of God. Verse 8, physical training is good. We've all done that, gyms and so forth and so on. But training for godliness is much, much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. I do. Verse 10. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly all of all believers. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. That's that presbytery. 15. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. And then verse 16. Keep a close watch on how you live and on how you and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of all those who hear you. I think that's some good advice to give someone. And because the love of God is always in the mix here, Paul has given Timothy nothing but sound doctrine, sound advice via that love of God. Here I have a few things that fall under the umbrella of serving. And number one to serve is we serve both God and each other. Again, many ways, many ways. So we can serve God and each other. Go to Psalms chapter 2, please. And when you get to Psalms 2, let's go to verse 11. It says, serve, right off the bat, serve the Lord with fear or with reverence and rejoice with trembling, with awe. That's how we serve, with reverence to God. God's never going to ask you or show you something that you can do to serve that's wrong or that's not respectful. No, just the opposite. How about serving praying time? Serving praying time, that's number two on my list. Maybe spend quality time praying, whether in our prayer closets or with family. So many things to pray for. So many things to pray for. People have needs. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, please, so I can show you something. Ephesians chapter 6. And in 6:18 of Ephesians, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. You see, when we pray for someone or something, we don't do a one and done. God loves to hear your enthusiasm, your fervent prayers, so you keep on praying until something is resolved or God's timing comes into action. Stay persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere around this world, not just San Diego. You may not see this person, but you sure as heck can pray for him here in San Diego. And that's what we should always do when we offer prayers. Go to Romans 12, please. Again, these are many ways to serve, ways that you may or may not have thought about, but they are serving. Romans 12, and drop down to verse 11. And it says, never be lazy. How many in this room have been lazy? I have. Hopefully not a lot. But work hard and what? Serve the Lord enthusiastically. If it's begrudging to you, then what are you serving for? You know, God wants to see a cheerful heart. Verse 12, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. There you go. Keep on praying. So, we serve praying time with one another. Number three, serving, here's one that you may not have thought is serving forgiveness. Serving forgiveness to one another. The ultimate act of forgiveness was from Jesus Christ himself. Remember, he died while enduring the most excruciating, torturous, unthinkable way possible. For what? Our sins. He was serving the Father on our behalf. So, why can't we forgive others? Is the question you need to ask yourselves. Is it because of pride? Some people stop because of pride. Is it anger? You're so angry at somebody, why would I want to forgive them after what they've done to me? Is it because we can look weak? The world says you're a weakling if you're asking for forgiveness. Suck it up. Stand tall. You're not doing that. Or are we looking for retribution? A lot of people do that. They look for retribution when someone crosses them up. I hope not, because this is not serving forgiveness like our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to love one another, right? We are called to love one another. It's not a hard thing. If otherwise, we're disobeying God. Look at Colossians 3. Serve, serve, serve. Colossians 3 and verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults. Or, the King James says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You go back to the standard. If Christ endured what he went through for us, how hard is it to ask for forgiveness from one another? Especially in the family of God, folks. We don't want to be divided. We want to be united, right? And if it takes forgiveness or asking for forgiveness, do it. I've had to do it with worldly people that I don't know if they believe in God or not, but I'm taking care of what I know how to do. At work, I've asked for forgiveness from an individual once upon a time who got very mad at me for no reason, started yelling at me up one side, down the other. I could have lashed out at him. I could have looked for retribution, but I didn't. I just grabbed my mind, grabbed control, and said, okay, I walked away. And one day, lo and behold, I'm walking by this gentleman, the same one who chewed me out. He's up on a ladder really high, and at the bottom of the ladder was stuff that had to be moved because he had to come back down. So I stopped. I saw who it was, and I cleared his way. When he came down, he goes, you didn't have to do that. I said, I know, but I did. He goes, I yelled at you the other day really bad, didn't I? I go, yes, you did, but that's okay. He goes, no, forgive me. I said, I already did. And you know what? Since that day, we speak wonderful words with each other. But you have to initiate the forgiveness at times in life, or hopefully the other person. But don't let the world's standards stop that. You know, reach out with that loving heart and forgive. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 4, please. And when you get there, please go to verse 31. And these words that God has in his word are because they're part of life. He knows that we will do these. We will do these. He knows that our five senses will lure us into doing these things. But God still tells us what is best. Father knows best. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It cost Christ the forgiveness that God gave us. there should be nothing in life that's too hard to forgive someone for when you think of what Jesus Christ did for our forgiveness. That should buckle you in the knees and cause you to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Forgive me, Daniel. I did not mean to do that. It's that simple. It's not complex. Mark chapter 11, please. And of course, it goes without saying, these are not my words, they're God's words. Mark 11 and verse 25. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. If you have any reason to forgive, do it. Do it. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may what? Forgive you your trespasses. Do we trespass all the time? Even when the sign says no trespassing, we trespass. We trespass. Number four, as far as serving is concerned, it says serve being an encourager. You can serve by being an encourager and offering support to those who are facing challenges or struggles. We just prayed for a few challenges a minute ago and struggles. And why do we do that? Because we want to serve the one body. We want to serve according to what God says. Okay? So, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. 10:24. I'll do this out of the NLT also. Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's something to motivate someone to. The King James says provoke, but that's what it's basically saying, to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return, whose return? Jesus Christ, is drawing near. I don't think you or me want, when Jesus Christ comes back, for someone that you really needed to forgive and says, oh, I should have, not should have, could have, would have, do it, so that you have a clean slate to the best of your ability, to the best of my ability in helping someone and in encouraging them. Look at 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And when you get there, verse 11. It says, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Continue that walk. Continue that. It feels wonderful when someone does that to you, the pat on the back or saying, you know what, you're God's best. There's only one Jeannie Linfeld in the world, and no one can do it better than she can. Everyone's got a purpose in life. Everyone should be encouraging to one another. Everyone has been called, whether you realize it or not. You're not here on earth to eat, go to sleep, wake up, work, that's it. You're here to serve. You're here to serve the bread of life. You're here to serve encouraging words. You're here to serve forgiveness. You're here to serve with prayers and so on and so forth. So, let's be those encouragers. And the last one I have, and there's many, many more, is serve kindness, such as it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Serve kindness. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, go down to verse 10, please. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So, on the topic of serving, let me conclude by saying this. Serving is and should be a part of a Christian's walk, of my walk. It should be an integral part of our walk, serving. So let's keep on serving because the glory is God. Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you and one another, Lord, and that we do it with your love first and foremost, and that we do it with great zeal in our lives. No matter what we serve or how we serve, that we just do it, Father, motivated by you and Jesus Christ, of the countless peoples he served as his days on here on earth were so. So I just pray for each person here not to hesitate or think twice about serving, but to just do it, to jump in. And Father, the glory is yours. And I trust that in some occasions we will see the manifestation or the fruit from doing that. But if not, it does not matter. That person will see our heart, which belongs to you. So I just thank you for the opportunities in our life to serve and to do well, Father, all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.